Welcome back to Mixed Bag. We're talking about the April 2024 game releases. Finally, with me here are Francesco and Isaac. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello there.
So let's start talking about the games we've played recently. I think one game we all played is South Park Snow Day.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we played it, but yeah, we couldn't really talk about it last time.
Yeah, it was...
It's an okay game.
Yeah, it exists. It at least wasn't full price. But it's very weird because they clearly tried to like structure it a bit like a roguelite, but then it doesn't.
There's
have,
no
like,
end game really.
Yeah, there's no like fully randomized mode. There's not actually that much to unlock. Like there's barely any weapon types or anything. And I think as like a South Park game, it's kind of just not that interesting either.
Yeah. Yeah, the previous games were much more regional.
Yeah, the RPGs.
Yeah.
The stuff that you expect from this game to unlock, they actually patched it in until October, I think, and then it also gets a new game mode. But at least that's all free. So maybe it wasn't really ready for launch. They should have included just all of that.
I think what was really kind of had made me wary on the game at first anyway was the whole fact that I get, like, not oversharing a ton of stuff about games and whatnot before they release, but, like, for Snow Day, there was basically... I think most people didn't even know what the game was supposed to be, like, genre-wise or anything. So, like, it was already kind of setting itself up for failure anyway, but then the actual game itself's kind of, like, just okay-ish. But, yeah, very weird. It does feel like maybe it released too early.
We did the stream, Axis, and I actually finished the game. The end fight is actually the most interesting part about the game, but it's quite short. I won't spoil it, but yeah, a certain monster from a recent movie could be there, just in the South Park edition. And we also tried out the DLC, which is free for now. I think they could monetize it since they said it's free at launch. And yeah, that actually spices up the gameplay a little bit with kind of tower defense goals and stuff like that. So yeah, they should have integrated that actually in the main game.
Yeah, at least like more of just like it just needed.
The fact that they won DRC makes me think it was supposed to be the main game at launch. So
yeah, I do wonder if they were kind of I'm half wondering if they were originally going to try and sell it as paid DLC and then
maybe they changed their mind
and they kind of were like, wait, maybe we should make it free.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's all been a bit weird. Really?
Yeah, you play the original levels with the cutscenes, but you get new gameplay that is actually interesting this time. So you have to finish the game one time to actually unlock that. And yeah, that feels like stretching the game time only.
Yeah, with how everything was structured, they could have had more like randomness or like had like an endgame mode that was just stuff kind of remixed and mixed and matched. But yeah, that and like only three weapon types of each thing, like... It just, it's really weird that there's only three, like, melee and three ranged when it's four players. Like, they don't even have enough for each player to have a different, like, melee and a different range. Which is strange.
And the other game, new game that I played is Alone in the Dark. I think we weren't able to talk about that last time as well.
Yeah.
Or I hadn't played it, I'm not sure. It's not great. I played the first hour, watched mostly cutscenes. Feels like a mix of L.A. Noir and the original game.
Yeah,
combat is a little sluggish.
Yeah.
Voice acting is great, but that's the best part about what
it
I've seen.
It looks pretty decent, like, visually, too.
Yep.
But yeah, it's one I'll probably try out when it's on sale eventually. It looks okay.
And then I watched the Fallout show. Francesco, you've been watching it as well, right? Have you finished it yet?
Which game?
The Fallout Prime show.
Oh, no. I already arrived at the episode 4 for now.
Okay, halfway
through. I'm at the mid-season.
Yeah. Yeah, I binged through it.
I'm enjoying it so far.
It's an interesting show, yeah. The first three episodes are among the best, I think. Then it declines a little, and then the finale, again, is pretty great. So yeah, you can read a review on the website on that, and maybe we'll talk about it once you finished it.
Yeah, I try not to spoil myself, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen too much in the way of spoilers online for it. I mean, I've seen people talking about it at least, which is probably a good
thing. The only thing I saw is the controversy about New Vegas, but...
Yeah, which is...
Always... I mean, the writer came out and said, look, New Vegas is still canon, shut up, so...
Yeah, the timelines don't really match up.
Maybe.
They probably made a continuity error, nothing to really...
Yeah, but like, I found a lot with like Fallout now, especially, it's like... A lot of it can be like, you know, continuity errors and like maybe the writing be a bit iffy, but like sometimes it is just the fans misunderstanding stuff or just being
wrong.
Yeah,
from what I heard, that may even be the reason.
So well, like, not spoiling anything, there is a place being referenced that is still in existence in Fallout New Vegas, but it shouldn't really exist if the... if it actually is right what they're telling in the show. So either New Vegas isn't canon or the show isn't. And apparently the show is canon, so maybe Bethesda...
But they said New Vegas is canon as well, so... I'm leaning on either you understood...
It doesn't work.
...not properly, or it's just a continuity error, don't think too much about it.
Exactly, I think it's that. And it's also a place we shouldn't mention before the show comes out, so maybe they were already aware there's something not right. But I think it's not that important, actually. I didn't really
notice they did say you can't please every fan, which makes me think they probably knew what was
a little bit
coming.
Out of proportion. Yeah, that's it for me this month, I think. I've played some simulators like Fan Bus Simulator and Euro Truck Simulator, the new DLCs, but you can watch those streams on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'd say the main thing for me, if talking like about like March stuff, would be Dragon's Dogma 2, which I played quite a lot of. Performance is not great. Though that did get patched a little bit to help.
You're playing it on console, I assume?
No, PC.
Oh.
It's...
I think on console it's even worse. So.
Well... I think they're about the same. It's just the fact that you can't, like, obviously on console, you can't just brute force it with having better specs. Like, because the main thing is like, a lot of it's to do with, like, characters and stuff. Like, performance is always better when you're out and about and only, like, fighting a few enemies and stuff. But then when in any of the towns where there's a bunch of characters grouped up, the performance gets very bad. Because I know one of the first patches they did made it so that there's maybe they like only show a certain amount of characters on the screen at once, so like characters that would usually be rendered that were like further away just aren't now to like help with performance.
I think people figured out, look, if we slaughter everything, the game actually runs right.
Yeah. It's partially because like I did get a statement from them ahead of time, which is the one that they basically put on Steam and stuff as well, where it's like a lot of it's to do with how characters are handled and like. Because it's like a bunch of stuff getting tracked at once. Because you can, like, any of the characters in the game, you can just, like, pick them up and just, like, take them anywhere. So, like, the game has to take into account, like, all the nonsense you can do. Like, you could literally, like, pick somebody up and then fast travel to the other side of the map and drop them, and then they'd have to make their way back to where they used to be. So, like, I think a lot of it's like that and, like, how the physics engine works and stuff. But, like, yeah, for regular gameplay, it's kind of destroying performance without really that much gain. But, yeah, I think Dragon's Dogma 2 is pretty good. I think it kind of does suffer a little bit from stuff the first game did, where it's still maybe not fully finished. Because, like, the whole thing of Dragon's Dogma 2 was it was, like, they were wanting to do Dragon's Dogma 1, but, like, their original vision for it. So, like, no cuts or anything. But I'm like 99% certain they had to make cuts again. But yeah, what's there is really fun. I really like it. And I know a lot of people are trying to say it's like, oh, it's designed to not be like as handholdy as like all the other game, like modern games and stuff. But I don't think it's that bad. Like, I feel like even if you're used to like full map markers and full fast travel and all that, it's still like really manageable. Like, it's just, yeah, it's quite a fun game. New Game Plus and like the actual main story being short means that even if you like screw up quests and stuff, you can just have another go around. It's like not really the end of the world. And yeah, there's plenty of ways to accidentally mess up quests, which is always funny. But yeah, that was the main one I was playing in March. I played a lot of Dragon's Dogma 2. I guess another one I played relatively recently would be Ender Magnolia, which is a sequel to Ender Lilies, which is like a side-scrolly Metroidvania Souls-ish sort of game. Came out into Early Access late last month. It's just good, but at the same time, it's one of those games where I'm like, did it need to release into Early Access? Because there's only like a few hours of content, and like, what's there is good, but I'm kind of wondering if they couldn't have just waited a bit longer. Like, it's like some Early Access stuff I understand, but like, this is like, I don't really see the benefit of doing it this way. Like, I don't think it's going to be in Early Access for too long. I think it's still intended to come out this year, so I feel like maybe they could have just not had Early Access at all. I don't know. I guess they want the early money for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good game. Looks nice. They've got great music as well. Just, yeah, it is pretty much a solid upgrade. Just seemingly they're trying to go for a more smooth difficulty curve too, where like the earlier stuff is easier rather than just kind of like pretty difficult all the way through. Yeah, I guess the last main one I've played through recently is like a smallish indie RPG called Terra Memoria by a French developer, I'm pretty sure. It's funnily enough, despite the like the Steam page and stuff never mentioning the term, the PR at one point used the term HD 2D, like the whole like Square Enix Octopath and all that thing.
Oh no!
And it's like, I kind of get why they're saying it, but at the same time, it isn't really like that. I'd say like the closest thing it has to that is the really heavy depth of field. But like most of the time, it kind of leans more towards kind of like what the upcoming Aiden Chronicles doing, where it's kind of leaning towards like PS1-ish, but with like, you know, higher details, sprites, and environments. It was okay, but it was like very short and very easy. Like they had speaking of Octopath, they had like a system in place where you do elemental attacks and stuff to break like a shield gauge on the enemies, and then once it breaks, you can do like a ton of damage to them and stuff. But all attacks drop that gauge, it's just weak attacks did it more, like stuff they were weak to. So like basically all strategy goes out the window and you just spam like attacks that hit all the enemies all the time. So it's like, it's definitely an interesting one. I like playing through like indie RPGs and stuff, kind of like, because like Jane Deco's a year or so ago was like one of my favorite RPGs in like recent memory. So it's always nice to like play the indie stuff and see what they've got going on. But yeah, Terra Memoria wasn't really that memorable in the end.
And it has a 1-hour waiting quest goal.
Oh yeah, that's funny. So they put it in, it's a joke quest. You can literally just leave for an hour, you can do whatever for the hour, and then the quest triggered. They had to get rid of it because people legit were complaining about having to wait for an hour.
Sorry for our bad sense of humor. They apologize for it.
It was kind of funny, but like I feel like that quest should have worked differently. You should have just been like, the character should have commented on it if you just didn't move for a while, and then you could just leave. Like,
yeah,
it was a bit, the goal didn't really work either way anyway. But
fixed the cruiser quest as well.
Yeah, so I didn't run into any major bugs, but I know a bunch of other people were running into stuff. But from my experience, it was mostly pretty smooth. Like, I just think a lot of there's this whole system in place for like, you can like partway through you unlock this place where you can like build it up and like place buildings and like change textures in the ground and like add props and stuff. But it feels kind of not fully developed, and it also feels like that whole, because like there's a bunch of cool like building systems tied to that that felt like they were originally supposed to be used in the main story and that never got used. I did actually ask in the Discord about it because they had a channel for asking the developers, and they were like, yeah, it was originally supposed to be way more important in the story. It's a shame because it's like there's only like you use the building system once in the like opening section, and then there's like one other side quest you can do that uses it, and then that's it outside of the town building thing. And it definitely felt like this was originally supposed to be like way more important. Like you'd have to use it to progress more often and stuff like that, and then they had to cut it. Which is a shame. Like,
yeah. Maybe they can use that system for a DLC.
That's why I was wondering. It's like I wouldn't actually be against them like doing something that was like mostly focused on this building stuff in like a new game or like a smaller side game or something. When I say smaller side game, I literally beat like I got all achievements in Terra Memoria in under 10 hours. So maybe not. Maybe it's like this one was already quite small, but yeah, it was like an interesting idea that wasn't really fully realized. But it is nice to play like indie RPGs. Because despite everybody going that turn-based games are dead, like every single year, seemingly, there's always more turn-based games getting released. So obviously you've got like Baldur's Gate 3 being like literally one of the biggest games of last year. But yeah, I'd say that was like the last main one that I can actually talk about, I suppose, right now anyway.
Well, as for me, I haven't played that much, honestly. But I did manage to try out a few things that I've yet to release. So one of them is going to release really soon, also on PlayStation Plus Extra Day 1, is Tales of Kenzera Zau. It's Metroidvania from published by Electronic Arts. Seems interesting for the few things I tried so far. I already tried the first few minutes. Right, or the first few hours, rather. I mean, not really minutes.
I played the title screen.
It seems interesting. It's basically a Metroidvania where you combine two gameplay styles. One that is more focused on shooting from the distance and another for melee attacks. But you can switch at will. So it doesn't seem to have maps that are extremely explorable. It seems pretty linear compared to other Metroidvanias, because I think it's more focused on actually telling a story than the actual gameplay. But it seems fun. It probably won't be something like The Lost Crown or anything truly that memorable, honestly, I think, but it still seems fun. It's interesting that the guy who's making this game is also, I don't know if you guys heard it.
Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, he voiced Bayek in Assassin's Creed Origins. Became a developer now. He's also voicing the main character of this game. Yeah. It's very personal because he's talking about the passing of the main character's father, and he said he also recently lost his father and he still hasn't gotten over it, so you can definitely see it's a very personal story so far. Looking forward to see how it comes out. It should be interesting, especially if you're a subscriber to PlayStation Plus Extra, since it's coming on day one. Another neat thing I tried, I talked about Prince of Persia, it's actually another Prince of Persia game that's coming out.
Oh, the roguelike.
The roguelike. I could try it out before it was even announced, so it was a bit of a surprise to see. Actually, another Prince of Persia game in 2024. Suddenly Ubisoft is remembering Prince of Persia exists, I guess. But this one is releasing on Early Access, and they basically told me that it's not an excuse to release a poor game. They're just doing it to get feedback and expand it as they go through development, but they want to make sure they get it right. Again, I only tried the first few minutes this time. Like, it was a very specific dev build, so there wasn't that much stuff to do, but at the very least I could try the first few levels. Seems fun. I don't think the gameplay is going to be as spectacular as the Lost Crown combos were, but there are still some interesting stuff. Especially like the fact that you can kick the enemies. There's a button that you can kick and you can stun nearby enemies or just get them away from you. It should be interesting. The developer is the one that made Dead Cells. And you can definitely see that in the art style. Which is very different from what you expect from a Prince of Persia game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did like what I saw from the trailer.
Yeah, I had fun while trying it out.
It's unusual that it was announced in an indie event, indie showcase.
Yeah, it's pretty much like an official indie. That's the best way I can describe it. Like Ubisoft basically probably gave them the license. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the actual game is being developed by Evil Empire. So they want to handle it on their own. It's even coming out on Early Access, something that Ubisoft never really does. So you but can tell they basically have freedom to do whatever they want.
So it needs to be Early Access. That's
yeah. They did tell me that it's going to release on Early Access only on PC now, but they couldn't tell me exactly when because they also have no idea. But the plan is also to release it on consoles eventually. But first, it has to be a complete game. So, looking forward to see how it comes out. I think it releases on 14th or 15th May. They told me 15th, I think, but now it's 14th, so maybe I remembered it wrong. Whatever, it's coming out next month, so I don't think it's gonna be as solid as The Lost Crown was from a gameplay standpoint, but it's gonna be still fun. The only thing I'm worried about is that I don't think it's a really good idea to make release two Prince of Persia games in the same year, which are also pretty similar.
Yeah, in half a year even.
Yeah. But let's see how it goes. That's pretty much it, because the other stuff I played is stuff I already talked about in the past, so there's no point in me going over it again. So.
All right, let's go to the April releases that we haven't covered. So I played a bit of Erebon Shadow Legacy. It's an interesting third-person stealth action game. It has a nice cel-shading art style. Story is a little forgettable from what I've seen. But yeah, works well, the stealth mechanics.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what this got announced during... Because I do remember I remember seeing one of the trailers for it, but I just don't remember what showcase it was in.
Oh boy, yeah, there we're in for a... search. Xbox. 2022 or June. Okay, it wasn't that hard to find.
It's funny because it was supposed to be in Game Pass, but then it got cancelled. The game it's not actually coming to Game Pass anymore.
Oh, I need to adjust our YouTube description for the video then.
Yeah, I think like a month ago. I don't actually remember anything that said why.
Yeah, it was supposed to come to Xbox as well, but I think it's now only it only came to PC. Maybe that's the reason.
Maybe. By the way, yeah, a bit of an odd one. Yeah, I just remember it looking pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe it comes later to Game Pass from what I've read.
Yeah, maybe it's just literally because if the Xbox version got delayed, maybe they're just waiting until it's all out, or maybe they're just never going to do it. Or like maybe try and get initial sales and then bring it to Game Pass later on that way.
Broken Roads came out. Looks a lot like the first Fallout game or the second.
Yeah,
it's an interesting timing with the Prime show.
Yeah, but it definitely looks completely like Fallout-ish.
Yeah,
but I've only seen like bits and pieces of it, and it didn't seem to be getting received that well. I'm not 100% sure why.
It doesn't run well that well on Steam Deck, from what I've heard.
Bit unfortunate. But
yeah, it's also on Switch, so it would be interesting to play that there. We have somebody reviewing it as we speak, so let's see how it turns out. Harold Haleybutt is coming out in the later part of the month, in 2 days.
Yeah, really nice visual style for that one.
All handcrafted.
I think it's coming on Game Pass and
Yeah.
I want to check it out.
Hopefully, fingers crossed it stays that way.
Yeah. It's not a sudden...
we hope it actually turns out good. The art style is definitely very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Like, at least, like, even if the actual story and stuff ends up being not great, it looks great. Yeah, very nice visual style.
Yeah, I played the demo and has pretty cool voice acting in English and German.
Nice.
Sort of like a Bioshock vibe, because everything is underwater. And yeah, it's supposed to be a utopy, but it's actually a dystopy, as it turns out, as the game goes on. So yeah, interesting one. Planet of Lana is not anymore Xbox exclusive, coming to Switch and PS5 on the same day. That's the Ghibli-esque 2D platformer. Pretty good game. I think we reviewed that. At least I finished it. Hopefully I reviewed it. No Rest for the Wicked is also an interesting game from Mune Studios, I believe. The Ori studio coming into early access.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this one turns out. Because it sort of seems to be like... I mean, it was initially showing off, it kind of looked like, oh, they're going for, like, you know, Diablo-ish.
Yeah.
But it's definitely slower paced, like, smaller encounters and stuff like that, from what I've seen.
Even the art style is way different from what we were used to in Ori.
Yeah, so. I really like the art style, except the main thing, I don't know if you've seen how the character designs are, but they have, like, very big, like, torsos and arms compared to, like, the
bottom,
which almost looks like it's designed, because it's like with League of Legends and stuff, where they're designed to be viewed from, like, top down, so they kind of mess with the proportions and animations a bit, but it's, like, the view's pretty close.
Nah, in this case, I guess it's just a stylistic.
I'd assume it's,
either a stylistic choice, or maybe it's because of the visuals.
I'd assume
make sure you can see the arms.
And yeah, like, also, like, if you're doing, like, if you've got a lot of melee weapons and stuff, it sort of plays that too. It's just, it's so weird to look at. It's also, it's like very bouncy too, kind of.
Big hands.
Yeah, so it's like big hands, big arms. And yeah, like very, like, bouncy animation. Just kind of funny to see compared to, like, the quite, like, a lot of it's, like, quite grim visually, but I think it's, like, it just depends on the area. But yeah, it looks interesting. Yeah, very different from their previous stuff, and yeah, it looks like they've got a bunch of stuff planned during early access, including like actual, like, co-op, because it's not going to be available from launch, and, like, more stuff in general. Yeah, like, I'm interested to see how that turns out. It's not that far off either.
Yeah, and so is A Yuden Chronicle 100 Heroes. I suppose you know a lot about that game, right?
The Suikoden spiritual successor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, I think. Obviously, it's pretty ambitious, I'd say, because it follows the whole, like, having, like, a ton of playable characters thing from the Suikoden games, except for whatever reason, because, like, the Suikoden games had it be 108 characters. Like, the 108 Stars of Destiny, and this time, for whatever reason, they upped it to 120 characters.
It's definitely because they could.
Just because they could, I guess. Like, not all of them are playable, like Suikoden, where it's, like, some of them are just, like, you recruit them.
That's disappointing. I want to have 120 playable characters.
That's the thing. I think it's still, like, more than half will probably be playable.
Wow.
Like, Suikoden as well, it was, like, not all of them are playable, but, like, the majority were, so it's, like, it's always kind of interesting to see how they do it. Like, speaking of Suikoden, like, the collection of one and the HD versions of 1 and 2 were supposed to come out at one point, but got delayed. So like, Eidolon Chronicle got delayed too, so it's been delays all over the place. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that one turns out. Like, yeah, very ambitious with the whole, like, a ton of characters thing for a Kickstarter game. I know they have, like, a publisher and stuff, but yeah, could potentially be good, could potentially not be good. Or somewhere in between, which is probably the most likely thing.
And we're also getting a new Saga game, Saga Emerald Beyond.
Yeah,
it's like a spin-off, right?
No, it's a new game. Okay. Like, it's just the naming scheme for the Saga series is all over the place. It's sort of, I suppose it's following a similar naming to the last Saga game, Saga Scarlet Grace. It kind of takes that game's battle system as well. Saga Scarlet Grace had a very good battle system, so if this one's kind of just like an updated version of that with battle-wise, it's going to be good. And the whole unique structure with Saga meant that the each of the demos on like each platform, which includes PC, which is nice. Square Enix seems to be doing PC demos more now.
Yeah.
They all had different characters you could play.
Right.
Which is, I think, is kind of a cool gimmick, like, for the demos.
If you have every system, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like different characters for different systems. And it's just the fact that they there's actually a PC demo for it, which is unusual. It looks like a lot of stuff skips PC nowadays, but they didn't for this one. And yeah, I'm definitely interested to see how it turns out. I never fully finished all of the stuff in the previous one, because it's like one of those ones where obviously things can go quite different if you pick a different starting character and stuff and make different choices. It's always been like the thing with the Saga games. Kind
of
like,
not sure if the system requirements are right on the Steam page. Maybe they're for one of the previous games because they're quite low. But if they're right, that's pretty good.
I'd imagine the system requirements should be pretty low. Like, visually, it's not too insane. So I think it's one of those games that should run really well on Steam Deck. I haven't checked to see how well it runs, but yeah, the system requirements, because visually it doesn't look like a huge step up over the previous one. Like, it's definitely a step up, because the previous one was originally on Vita before getting like an updated version on other consoles, which eventually came out over here. But yeah, the system requirements aren't going to be crazy.
But yeah, for that it looks pretty good. And UI-wise, it also looks like it could work well on Steam Deck.
Yeah, it's definitely, because it's coming to Switch too, so it's like, the previous one ran
Switch well 2? On Switch. Don't fix stuff, please.
Super Switch. Switch U.
Switch, but with two eyes instead of one now.
Switch.
But yeah, it's like, the only thing I'm like weird on with the Saga Emerald Beyond is it has like a weird like filter sort of in place, weird shader that kind of makes the visual look like strange, because it's not like cartoony. It's like, I guess they're kind of going for like sort of like a watercolor-ish look. It doesn't help on the Steam page where like all the images get heavily compressed too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it should be pretty interesting. Like, kind of like, it's another one where it like mashes up a bunch of different settings and stuff. So like all the playable character choices are like all over the place. It's just, yeah, should be pretty good. I think, despite Square Enix saying they were gonna do like less, just sudden like smaller releases that they didn't market properly, it seems like they're still kind of doing it. But I think the demo has helped a lot to get people like actually noticing it. So like, I'm hoping it does well. The previous game's always really cheap too, so maybe people will go back and play that one as well. It's just, yeah, it's nice to see Square Enix still releasing these sorts of like double A, I guess, or like, you know, like less insane budget games.
Yeah, the budget might be a little higher for Stellar Blade, a character action game from for PS5.
You'd hope
the
so.
Demo the, was released early on the US store, at least.
We all know where the budget went, but we won't say it.
Mm-hmm. Polygons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the demo released early on PlayStation for like a few hours for some reason, then it got removed, and then it came back again officially.
It only lasted like 1 hour.
Yeah. But it wasn't blocked, right? So you could just...
I think they revoked the access as well.
Yeah, so it's like, if you downloaded it and then disconnected from online, you'd be able to keep playing it. But yeah, if you were still online, they pulled a PT on it and just... it was gone. Actually, no, I think PT you could still... you couldn't re-download it. Yeah, they should have just revoked access to it. In general, if you were still connected online and had managed to download it in time. But yeah, the demo's actually out now.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Sandland, there's also a demo for that one. Have you guys played it?
I watched some gameplay on it, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, I played it a bit.
It's
a combat demo, basically.
Yeah.
Not a lot of story in there. Unlike the Gamescom demo, but I think that never released publicly.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think this was sort of just like, yeah, very, very quick sort of like, I guess like mid game look at like how the combat works.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Interesting. It was just kind of a weird announcement initially, because like I think a lot of people just didn't know what Sandland was. It's kind
I
of.
I think
like,
it's by the same devs.
Dragon Ball meets Transformers.
Yeah, it's by Akira Toriyama.
His final game, basically.
Yeah, because there's an anime adaptation of it running right now.
Or the final game with content from him.
Maybe yeah. Say that. Well. Yeah.
Well,
they will definitely keep adapting games, his work, yeah. His Dragon Ball.
Xenoverse 2.
But they won't make any contributions for obvious reasons.
Yeah, but yeah,
he like to do original characters and stuff. So
yeah, but yeah, it's interesting to see Sandland coming back now because the manga is like relatively old. But yeah, obviously it's getting an anime. It's it currently has an anime adaption, which was throwing people off because there were some reviews coming out for the Sandland anime. For like the first episodes, and people are like, what, the game's already out? It's like, no, it's the part of the anime. But yeah, definitely like good release timing, having the anime and the game around the same time. And yeah, the game itself looks fine. I'm not 100% sure what the full thing will be like, if it'll maybe be a bit too padded out or something, but it looked pretty chill.
Yeah. Demon Slayer is also based on an anime, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yep. Manga.
Anime and manga.
But yeah.
I guess it's a board game that's coming out on the same day.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, Mario Party-ish sort of game. I can't remember if that's the release date worldwide or just, like, Japan, because it's, like, it always gets a bit weird when it comes to, like, these sorts of, like, anime spin-offy ones. I think it's worldwide, yeah. So it's, like, just a day difference between, like, Japan and worldwide.
Yeah, it was released on Japan and now it's coming out worldwide.
But yeah, it's like a Mario Party-ish sort of spin-off game.
Because apparently we needed a Demon Slayer party game.
I'm trying to remember if it was Demon Slayer or something else. There was like another like board game that included like some anime stuff. Weirdly, I always forget. Yeah, because like when it comes to like anime spin-off stuff, like. It's always been a bit strange, but like I feel like a lot of the anime stuff, I suppose with like licensed games in general, have kind of stopped being released nowadays.
Didn't Danganronpa get a board game?
Yeah, Danganronpa S, I think, something like that. It was basically like they did an expanded version of the mini games in Danganronpa V3, just as a full game for some reason. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, the Demon Slayer one. It did just look very, like, Mario Party-ish.
And then also on the same day, we are getting Top Spin again. I think it's been a while, at least since I saw Top Spin.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Yeah. I think maybe it's been more than... I think it's been, like, a decade. I think it's been
just
a while.
Just a few years.
Yeah, interesting to see a not EA sports game. Let's see how it does. Yeah, we actually may get it, so we can try that in multiplayer. Probably our first tennis game that we've played.
I'm just trying to check when the last one even released. I think it's straight been like 13 years since the last Top Spin game came out. So like, I don't know why.
Yeah, for a while we didn't get any tennis games at all.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm not really sure. Why there's one coming out now, but maybe it'll do well. I guess like you're saying, it's like not like there's that many tennis games that have released in recent years, so.
But for Mario Tennis, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, not a whole lot.
Yeah, I guess they got the ATP and WTA license, and that's why we get that game.
Yeah,
yeah, we're getting a bunch of ports as well from Braid and Sea of Thieves.
It's interesting to see Sea of Thieves coming out on some other stuff now, on other platforms. Or just like a lot of Microsoft stuff in general, really. I never really got into Sea of Thieves as a thing, but I know it's gotten a lot more stuff since it originally launched.
Yeah.
Constant updates.
I'm checking the roster of Top Spin,
And I don't think they have seen her, so it's already starting bad in my eyes. But, oh well.
It will be DLC, maybe.
They better add him eventually.
Yes, another late game that's coming out this month is Mana Lords.
Which is one I keep... again? And a PC Game Pass?
I think so, yeah. It's not really my sort of game, but I just keep seeing it pop up every now and then. It like looks really cool. Like city building with like quite a bit of attention to detail and stuff. And like, yeah, like they keep trying to like emphasize the whole like building stuff where it's like not set on a grid or anything, so it kind of looks more natural. Kind of like City Skylines and stuff, where you have more like control over building like the roads and things like that, rather than just like it being on a set grid.
Right, like City Skylines meets Total War.
Yeah, there definitely seems to be some more.
Look also pretty detailed.
Yeah, it's like I'm definitely tempted to try it, despite being terrible at these sorts of games. It just, yeah, it, like it's. Yeah, but like just the attention to detail and actual visuals and stuff is quite nice.
Yeah. Same applies to Pioneers of Pogonia, which also has a co-op mode now. So we will be covering that at some point as well.
Yeah, because that one's still early access, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's definitely more colorful.
Yeah. And a lot less battles.
Yeah,
I think you can only like build a village together, so you can't have everybody their own village like in Settlers games.
Yeah,
but I think they're progressing to that. So yeah, I think that's about it for the April releases.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's much else.
I guess something that released earlier, like at the start of the month, that's already out is Gigantic came back, surprisingly.
Right.
With
Gigantic. Apparently we needed it to came back.
Well, I'd need to like double check what went down with it, but from what I remember, they partnered with Microsoft for it, for the original release, which meant at the time it was Microsoft being, you know, being weird and trying to push the Windows Store and all that. So it didn't get released on like Steam or anything. And then I think since it didn't do as well as Microsoft were hoping, it kind of died very, very fast. But yeah, it's definitely a surprise to see it come back now and come back as a paid game. It was from what I remember of the original release, it wasn't too bad. It was like, it was kind of like a hero shooter with some like MOBA elements. Kind of like what was that other game that Gearbox One order, Battleborn.
Yeah,
I was trying to remember what the game was called.
That was a thing.
Yeah,
Battleborn.
Yeah,
the Overwatch killer.
It's kind of like
that pet Overwatch to actually kill itself.
Yeah, it's like sort of like not like a hero shooter, except a lot of the characters like melee based and stuff. But with like some MOBA-y elements to it. Very nice visual style too, which I think was part of the reason like people noticed it originally, because it's just a really nice design and stuff. But yeah, the fact that it's like paid was unusual. I'm surprised they didn't try and go free to play again. And yeah, I'm not 100% sure how like what sort of legs it's gonna have, but. Yeah, kind of interesting to see it still. To see it come back again after a while.
And Abstraction Games did a lot of games from Hotline Miami to Danganronpa 2, Shibuya 428 Shibuya Scramble. Probably most of them are ports.
They've been working on a lot of ports for stuff. I think for like for King of Fighters specifically, they handled netcode stuff, which is probably not the best sign considering what happened with that game's online at launch. Yeah. It was a bit rough. But yeah, I think they've been doing a lot of like porting work recently.
And they also did Knit Underground, if you remember that. I think on PS3 was an interesting platformer.
With weird writing from what I remember.
Yeah, it's not a too much of a busy month, but at least some of the games stand out then, like Tales of Kanzera.
Yeah, it's like some decent stuff. Like, I know, like, this like next month's got a bunch of things.
Doesn't seem to be any big hitters, but still decent. Maybe Stellar Blade could be worth checking out. But
yeah, it's Stellar Blade.
I don't expect any real big hitters this month.
I mean, I suppose with Stellar Blade specifically, it's like, oh, hey, it's an actual PS5 exclusive.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
For half a year, or a year, maybe.
For however long it ends up being before PC happens. But, yeah.
Okay. Let's meet again for May in probably just 2 weeks or whenever we will find ourselves together.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Until we meet.